If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, joins me as we talk about an amazing SmackDown, Mark, from Friday night.
Dave, it was so much that we had to talk about. We talked about the drama and the not knowing and the new things that happened. Unbelievable week.
And of course, because of the travel issues out in Saudi Arabia, NXT dominated on Friday night. And speaking of travel issues, again, we don't know what we're going to see on Monday Night Raw, but to talk about that, Natalya joins us here in studio to talk about Raw tonight and, of course, what happened at Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia.
One of the most important things that happened at, in Saudi Arabia with Natalya and Lacey. The women's division is doing things that we've always expected out of them, but we get to see the first time that two women entered a squared circle in Saudi Arabia.
And we give love to AEW because we have maybe the greatest tag team in all of pro wrestling, the Young Bucks, join us all on today's edition of the Busted Open Podcast.
Dave, how can you not be excited in the wrestling world right now? Even the great Columbo couldn't figure out all the drama that's going on right now.
Yeah, Columbo would have a tough time with this one. Where would Columbo be? Would he be in Stamford, Connecticut? Or would Columbo be in Saudi Arabia trying to figure out what the hell was going on?
Well, excuse me. So you were saying maybe this happened on Saturday, but it spilled over to Sunday? Columbo just would, he would just make you tell where you are, how you did it, when. He was the best.
World's smartest man, Columbo.
And he used to always say, I'm not a very smart man. Maybe I'm getting this all wrong.
He gets you because everybody thought he was stupid and he was the smartest man in the room. And he's like Madonna because he has no first name. No, what was Columbo's first name? I don't know. It was just Columbo. I have no idea. It was just Columbo. He was like Madonna. It was just Columbo.
And not only that, but Columbo was one of those that he didn't take the easy way out. He wanted the hardest cases. And right now, the mystery of what happened at Crown Jewel is very mystery-like. I mean, it's so much going on. I don't know where to start, Dave. Should we start with the negative? Should we start with the positive?
Well, here's the thing. And we may need Columbo, but Columbo passed away, so we're not going to get Columbo to try to figure out what the hell is going on. We love him.
Sherlock Holmes.
He's hanging out with Pepe Le Pew, Columbo, right now. Bless his heart. But we're going to probably need somebody like Columbo to kind of figure this out. And listen, there's a lot of positive. And we're going to, I mean, this show is going to be extremely positive because no matter what happened in Saudi, what we got is probably the best SmackDown. You mentioned 10 years, probably the best SmackDown in over a decade. This is probably the best SmackDown that I remember since CM Punk beat Jeff Hardy in the cage to retain the World Heavyweight Championship after SummerSlam in August of 2009. That's probably how far you have to go back to find a show that was better than the one we saw this past Friday.
Dave, I couldn't sleep. I had trouble sleeping. I kept thinking about wrestling. And then, in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock, I went and watched the show over again.
3 o'clock this morning?
No.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, boy, you know, you're on no sleep.
No, on Friday.
Oh, okay.
like I had to watch it again. And I've, you know, of course I can fast through the commercials, so it was a lot easier. But I was just as excited, and I kept replaying. There were three things that I just couldn't take my eyes off. I thought that it was quality television. Bianca Belair was whooping ass like somebody stole her dog, and it was a mauling. It looked like the police should have been called. And the interview with Sami Zayn, when Keith Lee and Matt Riddle walked up on him, was very entertaining. Sami Zayn is awesome, man. The way that he was selling, it was like watching poetry. He's special. And watching Daniel Bryan and Adam Cole in a 30-minute old-school wrestling match. That was not sports entertainment. There was nothing watered down about it. There's no fan that even the damn AEW, WWE haters, those fans will call in today and go, hey, that Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan match was on fire.
No, it was. And Mark, you're so right. From top to bottom, fantastic show. And I'll even throw this in. Our good friend Pat McAfee on commentary was tremendous. Tremendous.
A round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Pat McAfee. Damn, he was good. Outside of Jim Ross, I haven't been excited to hear somebody make a call.
Wow.
Michael Cole, one of the best setup men in announcing history. He can set it up like nobody's business. Pat McAfee was colorful. He was funny. He was insightful. And you could tell that he is a fan, that he's passionate. It was like if they let you and I make a call.
Yeah,
can you imagine if me and you on the commentary, we'd probably get kicked off for cussing.
Yeah, because we'd be talking about Columbo. They'd be like, you know, guys.
They'd be like, yes, stay on the match.
But you know what Pat McAfee did as well? Is that he was a cheerleader for NXT. Like, at the end of that show, when Triple H was in that ring with the NXT, the NXT wrestlers that were there that night, and they all kind of piled into ring to end that show, Pat McAfee ran into the ring too. That's what made it so special, because it did feel like a true takeover. That's why you needed Pat McAfee on commentary. And to me, Pat McAfee had the moment of the night when Stephanie McMahon came out, and she's you know, waving at Triple H and throwing him kisses and saying hi, baby. And then they pan to Triple H, and right behind him was Pat McAfee waving back to Stephanie McMahon. The guy's
tremendous.
You
talking to me? You're talking to me? He's a nut, man. I'm telling you, I love him.
And we know Pat. You and I know Pat pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Pat McAfee. Like, they didn't ask Pat McAfee to do any, like, he's truly nuts. Like, he's a nutcase.
That's good
him.
Nuts.
Oh, of course.
It's like you know the best nuts in the world. I know I always take stuff back to food. But the best nuts are those honey roasted mixed nuts. They salty and sweet. Pat McAfee is a honey roasted nut. He's sweet. He's delicious. He's awesome. There's nothing negative about it. There's no, all of them. There's not one. You know how you pick around the mixed nuts? And you're like, I'm not going to eat the hazelnuts. I'm not going to eat the
You don't eat the macadamia nuts. You pass over the macadamia. You know, nobody likes the macadamia nuts.
All of it. I'm eating all of it. Oh, Pat McAfee is special.
Now, again, best SmackDown in 10 years. The best show of the week. You know, we're always talking about what was the best show of the week. Was it NXT? Was it AEW? Well, I think we can all say that the best show this past week was Friday Night SmackDown. The best show that they've had since they moved to Fox, for sure. And again, all of this happened, Mark, because of the incident that happened in Saudi. On Halloween, they had the show in Saudi Arabia. And, I mean, it depends on who you believe. The WWE released a statement that said it was mechanical issues. Dave Meltzer has got several reports about what he feels happened to hold up that plane. Hugo Savinovich did a Facebook Live about what he thought from talking to some of the talent and relationships that he has with people still with the WWE about what was happening. So a lot of rumors, Mark, when it comes to what truly happened after Crown Jewel on Halloween.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying about the drama. We need a special detective to sort out the bull crap and what was real, because I don't know. I don't have all the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to sit here and comment on what I don't know. But what I will say is, if there's any validity to what was said, if I was a talent and I was willing to go over and do my business and do my work and do what was required of me as an employee, I would feel slighted if what they're saying is true. And then maybe I would be like Daniel Bryan and John Cena and Kevin Owens and whoever else said they didn't want to go. I would be on that bandwagon. I would be like, well, I'm not going over there. I don't feel safe. I don't feel like I've been respected or whatever. That's if that's the case,
mm-hmm.
then that's how I would feel.
And I wouldn't blame you for that. So to really kind of fill in the nation if they haven't heard, and now this is coming from Dave Meltzer about what took place right after Saudi Arabia. Obviously, WWE reported that there was a malfunction with the plane, there was mechanical issues, and it couldn't lift off. They were there stuck for a full 24 hours before they finally landed at JFK on Friday, Mark. So obviously not able to be a part of what took place on SmackDown. And again, we got the NXT doing a great job for SmackDown Friday night. But Dave Meltzer reported that the WWE was not paid for the previous Saudi show. Now, that show that took place on Halloween was supposed to air live in Saudi. It sounds like Vince McMahon kind of pulled the plug. They got a $60 million payment just before the start of the Saudi show, so it wound up being on a 45-minute delay for the people there in Saudi. Then, supposedly, the Saudi Arabia, maybe the government, who knows, were upset, maybe kind of put the kibosh on them being able to fly out right after the show. Now, there were some WWE talent, including Vince McMahon, including Brock Lesnar, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Jimmy Hart, Brock Lesnar, that were able to leave right after the show. Tyson Fury also able to leave right after the show because they had their own private aircraft that was sending them out of Saudi Arabia, not like the rest of the crew. And then
Dave, even if you have your own private airplane,
mm-hmm.
you still have to fly out of their airport under their air traffic control. So if the government says nobody's flying out, nobody's flying out. I just can't get that. That's one of the things that somebody smarter than me and more knowledgeable and have more intel and understanding would have to say, how could Vince and the other planes get out and then that plane not get out? Is it because it was commercial and it's different?
Maybe.
Like, somebody enlighten me. I need enlightenment.
And maybe it's a different run. It could be a completely, I don't know. It could be a completely different runway. Then a lot of people are saying, like, how could they leave while the rest of the employees can't? From what I hear, their aircraft's left much earlier. So, you know, it's not like Vince McMahon just left his employees there to rot as he went home safely. It sounds like his aircraft left, and because there's a lot of speculation that he left and just left the employees there.
Yeah, why paint the picture of somebody as being why would somebody be as negative and say something like that without any validity to it? I mean, you it's going to have to come out that there's supreme knowledge about this being a real thing for me to be like, okay, why would you leave everybody?
Yeah.
That would be hard for me if that was the case. But I just don't believe that. I just don't believe it. It's got to be proven to me. You know who we need? We need the investigators that found Jericho's belt.
Yeah, that's who we need. That's who we need? You think they'll be able to get to the bottom of it?
They were good. They were good. They were efficient. They got the news out in less than 24 hours. And here we are still in suspense. I don't want to be in the dark, Dan.
Well, I mean, again, these are
you
just...
You know how I feel about dark places.
No, I know. You get scared.
Scary places.
I get it. Now, Dave Meltzer saying like that Vince McMahon didn't know. He wouldn't have left if he would have known. There's a lot of speculation. All I know is that tension is very, very high right now in the WWE. Talent not happy. Can't blame them. They're stuck there for 24 hours without any kind of direction. The boss is gone. They're there. He's not. So I can understand this being a tense situation. But again, we don't know all the facts. These are just rumors and innuendo. So I can't really report like and point fingers of who's to blame. I don't know what's true and what's not. I mean, they had their fiscal quarter conference call at the end of last week. And I know that they didn't mention the last Saudi show in that. So I do believe that probably money was owed from that last show. Now, whether they pulled the plug on the airline leaving, who knows? Until we find out facts, it's really hard for us to come on the air and talk about something that we really don't know is either a fact or a rumor.
I just can't see this. Okay. If you're worth $70 billion, what is $500 million? It's peanuts. It's nothing. Well, it's not nothing, but it's nothing.
It's hard for me to ever say $500 million
like you have
is nothing.
You have your Amex card, and you can run that Amex. I mean, you can put $50,000 on it if you want to. But at the end of the month, you better pay it. They're gonna allow you to pay a portion of it a couple of times. But eventually, they're going to say, hey, we're owed. You need to pay us or we're going to turn your card off. That's what I feel like this is. Is that the way they're paying this?
I have
they're like,
I
here
have
you
no
go.
Idea.
I'm gonna give you, I know I owe you $140 million, but here, take this $60 million and have a ball.
The holiday rush is coming, and if you sell stuff online, you better get ready with ShipStation. With more people buying online than ever before, you have to be able to ship orders out quickly, efficiently, and affordably. But how do you keep track of all those orders? Or decide which shipping carrier to use? Or if you're getting the best rates? Luckily, ShipStation can help. With just a few clicks, you'll be managing orders, printing labels, and getting those products out the door. And delivered in time for the holidays. I know my Dave LaGreca guy and Dave LaGreca girl t-shirts aren't going to be shipped out on their own and affordably to boot. So I use ShipStation. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. No wonder ShipStation is number one in choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Take the hassle out of the holiday shipping this year. Let ShipStation help you handle it all with ease. Just use my offer code BUSTED to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free holiday shipping. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in BUSTED. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code BUSTED. ShipStation. Make ship happen. Natalia, always good to have you here on Busted Open.
Oh, I love Busted Open Radio. I mean, I feel like I'm part of the family.
You are part of the family.
You are part of the family.
Thank you.
You actually...
Natty, you got to stop getting... You're just getting better looking every time I see you.
It's a great moisturizer I'm using.
Oh, my goodness gracious. My wife was saying, she said, Natalia, just look at her. She just looks so... so glowing.
I'm really happy.
And like, now I'm gonna have to tell her that it's your moisturizer.
It's the moisturizer, but you know what? I'm feeling so happy in my life. I feel happy with my career and my relationships. My work is good. Home is good. Like when things are good, you just have to embrace it.
Yeah. Take it when you can get it.
Because it when you can get it.
Life throws curves.
Mark and I know all about those curves.
I know about that curveball, man.
Always.
No, but you have to be glowing, especially after last week. We've talked about it a lot here on the show. And just the emotion. And I watched it with my wife and my daughter. And just seeing you get emotional as you were coming down the entrance ramp to be involved.
I was crying before I even left Gorilla. I mean, I almost felt like I was just overwhelmed, like with like emotion, because I knew that this match was bigger than me. I knew it was bigger than Lacey. I knew it was bigger than WWE. There was nothing like this that the women in WWE have ever done before. And like Mark said, the magnitude of being the first, the experience was just transcending. It was for little girls and women everywhere that have had a dream, and that we got to open doors that have never been opened before. That was just overflowing in my heart.
Natty, was there a point, and I was saying this to Dave, you know, off the air as well as before you came on, the implications of what you did and Lacey did with the WWE, that very likely in 15 to 18 years, there'll be a young girl that was sitting in that audience that will be a professional wrestler. And when the microphone gets to her and she gets her time to shine, her 15 minutes, and she says, "I was the little kid in the crowd that saw Natalya and Lacey Evans, and that's why I exist in this business today." How are you gonna feel?
I am going to feel so incredibly inspired, because that's the way I felt walking out to the ring. And just to me, that's what life is all about. That's why that feeling was transcending. This is more than just wrestling. It's about moments, creating moments. The moments are what last forever, not the championships, not all the gold. I mean, granted, listen, I'll take a couple championships if I can get them, but it's about the moments. It's about the way people make you feel. And to be able to inspire little girls, I was so inspired walking down that ramp. And I was almost so overwhelmed with emotion that I almost like felt like I couldn't feel like my legs when I was walking down to the ring. It just was a surreal, almost out of body experience. I felt like I literally was talking to my dad before I walked down. Right when I was Gorilla, I always have a few people that I talk to. I always talk to my dad now, and my dad, I know he has my back, and I felt like in that moment he was with me too, you know. And he was there, and he was part of the, like, all the stars that align that made this moment happen for Lacey and I. I feel like my dad had a little hand in like every star perfectly aligning for us.
And when go ahead, Dave.
No, I'm sorry. Cause I was just going to say, Mark, that when I saw you coming down that entrance ramp at Crown Jewel and I saw the emotion in your eyes and the tears, I felt good in the way that she is living in the moment. Natalya, cause we're big fans of yours. Obviously, you know the show and we're big fans of yours. So, a lot of times, big moments like that, you don't think about it until the moment's long gone. Yeah. And then you look back at it. But the fact that you were able to embrace it while it was taking place, and not just you, you could tell Lacey Evans was as well. I felt so good for you that you were able to live in that moment and really experience it and understand the significance as it was happening.
Yeah, you have to, like I said, life is about moments and little, like, I just don't know what else in my career will ever replace the specialness of that moment, that memory, and how impactful it was. Like Mark said, for years down the road, to be able to have somebody one day, a little girl that says, "I wanted to do this," because, you know, think about the first ever Saudi Arabian female superstar coming to WWE.
It's going to be ridiculous.
And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's just being able to transcend. So it's, to me, I just felt like I'm so grateful that I was part of such an incredible change.
Natty, I would be remiss if I didn't mention how I know the rules of the country and the attire that y'all wore to the ring were in respect to their rules and their laws, and you have to do that.
Right.
And also the wrestling style. Like, I saw a difference in the wrestling style. I had you and Lacey both. Y'all wrestled more. You showed respect to each other when normally that probably wouldn't have been the case. When you're in your normal work mode, it would be you and Lacey at odds, and that was not the case. And was it the idea of the company, or was that something that was required of you guys?
Well, let me just say this before I even answer that, because that's actually a great question. And you're the first person that's pointed that out. I have a different respect for Lacey Evans after this week. Because before, like, even when I first started working with her, there was moments where she would kind of get under my skin or get on my nerves. And it's just because she was new and she was, and I, of course, I'm always going to help everybody out. But she grew on me so much in the last couple months. And then this last week, she just showed me a different side of her that I never knew existed. And my first coach in wrestling, Dr. Tom Pritchard, said, sometimes people are brought into your life for a reason. And I feel like Lacey was definitely brought into my life for a reason. And before we went out, I said to Lacey, because Lacey very much likes to play that bad girl role. Mm-hmm. And I said to Lacey, I said, remember, tonight is not about good versus bad. Tonight is about respect, athleticism, and dipping our foot in the pond and introducing the Saudi Arabian audience of what we do. We want to make such a good impression that we can have a women's battle royal here. We can have the first ever women's championship match here. We want to make such a good impression, but we need to tread carefully and slowly because this is the first time that they've ever seen a women's wrestling match. So let's worry about our characters on another night, and let's wrestle tonight, and let's make it about respect. Let's not make it about good versus bad. Let's give them a wrestling match that they're going to remember and something that they're going to be so entertained by. And so that's what we did. It was really so much about respect, even the costumes. We're going into another country. We have to respect their culture.
And Lacey Evans can change that. Wow. You're at Nassau Coliseum tonight for Monday Night Raw. There are tickets still available, so go to WWE.com again at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum for Monday Night Raw. And Lacey Evans can come out on Raw tonight and get right back into character just before it. So it's great that you're able to just kind of suspend that for a while for something that you knew was going to be historic.
Right, and that night, that's what the story was about. And for me, like, I didn't think or care for one second, oh my gosh, I have to wear this T-shirt over, you know, a big bodysuit. To me, to get the chance and the opportunity to wrestle in Saudi Arabia, where WWE has done over 40 shows in the Middle East, we have, and Mark, you probably remember one of the most iconic pictures of Owen and The Rock on the camel. They were on camels in the Middle East. And thinking back, like, my family has wrestled over in the Middle East and done shows here. And I want to continue to carry on that legacy for myself, for women around the world. And again, to open doors that have never been opened before. So yes, we can always do good versus bad, but there is something to be said about respect. And I feel like we had a really cool story.
I'm glad that y'all had effect on that. And not it just be a mandate that happened. Because we, as much as we deal with the positive, we also deal with the negative. It's unfortunate that we have to, but we do. And I felt and heard no negativity. Zero for the first time in my life dealing with pro wrestling. There was no negativity about the match. I was just in shock. I was waiting on it. I was like, oh, here it comes. Somebody's going to say something negative. And here we are in another week and still nothing negative. The last caller we took before you came on, he said, man, that was so inspiring. It was so incredible that I had tears in my eyes because I knew how good that was for women's wrestling. And for that country. That was the caller, right, Dave?
Wow. Yep. Wow.
So, like, very easily, because, man, they wore too many clothes. They didn't look like they normally look. They didn't act like they normally act. None of it.
Yeah.
We got none of it. And I'm just happy for you. I'm happy for you and Lacey. I'm happy for the women's movement. I'm happy for what went on in Saudi Arabia, for the Saudi Arabian people, as well as the women in that country.
I was treated so well over there. Yeah. I mean, from the men, the women, the children. I mean, the food was amazing. It was so clean, and everything
was just
the food was. Listen, I've never had hummus like Saudi Arabian hummus. The hummus was amazing. I mean, it was just like the women. I can't tell you how many men walked up to me and said, "Your family is so inspiring to me." Bret Hart was my favorite growing up, and I sent Bret like a screenshot from. Somebody that had tweeted me that was from Saudi Arabia saying your uncle was like is the reason why I love WWE, and like people were just sending me so much love. I felt so loved and so embraced, and it's funny because Lacey and I were ready, WWE was ready, Saudi Arabia was ready, the world was ready. It was a perfect storm of readiness.
Lightning struck.
Yeah.
And think about this is awesome chance that were happening. So I'm sure you probably had butterflies going into how the fans going to react, and then to hear those, this is awesome chance. I mean, that had to be
my biggest fear in any country I wrestle in, any place, any city, state, or country that I'm in. I'm always afraid that no one's going to react. So when like you get a reaction like the one that we got in Saudi Arabia, you run with it. You just take the ball and run with it, and like it just felt so good. Even afterwards, I said to Lacey. Before we went out, I said, let's walk up the ramp together. Like, I don't care that I won. I want us to celebrate this together. Like, this is you and me. We both won. And we got out of the ring, and like, all of a sudden, the people were just trying to like hug us. And this woman in the front row, people keep asking me, who is that woman that hugged you guys? It was just a woman that was sitting in the front row that just wanted to be hugged. And so,
yeah.
Lacey and I just hugged everybody. It was almost like becoming another match with us just hugging people in the front row, because that's how big and great everybody was afterwards. That's how much love we got.
It's so cool.
Natty, I was so wrong. I was so wrong. And I'm quick to admit when I'm wrong. My son, Jacob, he said, my wife said, who's that woman? And Jacob said, that's just a fan. And I was like, nah, she hugged her like she knew her. And she must work for the company or just something. And here you are just putting an egg in my face. Like, look, you were wrong, Mark.
Well,
and
Jacob is pretty darn smart.
Jacob said that was an emotional hug, that she didn't know her.
Yeah.
Like, she just was a fan. And he was right.
Even when I walked down the ramp, right before I got in the ring, I, like, decided that I just take my cat ears off, and then I didn't want to put them on the girl's head because I didn't want to take liberties, but I handed them to the girl sitting front row, and then she put them on her head and wore them the whole night. And like every time I kind of got nervous, I like kept looking at her, and she had my cat ears on. I'm like, you know what? Wrestling speaks a universal language, and WWE,
yes,
we're in over 180 countries around the world, 28 languages. Wrestling brings people together. We create moments and memories.
It's so funny. You mentioned the cat ears. Like, I told my wife that you were going to be in studio today, and she was like, well, make sure you talk about the cats. Make sure you tell her about. And I was like, come on, there's so much more to talk about.
So how are your cats?
I got five cats.
How are they?
They're good. They're spoiled. Two Paws has 161,000 followers on Instagram.
What?
Sarah Logan blocked him on Instagram, so he's been staying.
Wow, he's got a lot to say.
Sarah Logan blocked the damn cat.
Sarah Logan, I want to go on the record and say, I'm so disappointed in Sarah Logan.
She's evil.
She blocked my cat, who's never done a damn thing to her.
I don't know what to say.
And I'm just, honestly, I'm a little pissed off about it.
You should be. That's your cat.
Tupac is, honestly, he's been in therapy ever since. He's devastated.
And it does. Certain people block you, you know? You think they're a fan, you think you have a relationship, and then you get blocked.
I know. It was like, I remember when Braun Strowman first started following Tupac. It was like the greatest day for him. So he gets Braun following him one moment, and then Sarah Logan blocking him the next. We were just so devastated.
I can see it now. I know that eventually, in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a match between Sarah Logan and Natty Neidhart.
By the way, I can't wait to wrestle Sarah Logan on Raw. I had a match with her.
Kick her ass.
I will kick her ass, but this girl's good. There's a couple dark horses right now in WWE that I think are really Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan, Dana Brooke. I think those are three that we really need to watch out for. Those girls are definitely ready to make some waves.
Well, I mean, I was going to say to you, too, because the way Mark and I started today's show, we were talking about SmackDown from Friday, and obviously NXT took over SmackDown Friday night. You you better watch your back tonight.
I know.
I mean, Shayna Baszler may come out there. Who knows what's going to happen?
Shayna and I, luckily, I keep my friends close and my enemies closer because Shayna's actually a really good friend of mine. She and I trained together before WWE. So I've always had-
You're friends with everybody.
I know. I'm like a little social butterfly. But I love Shayna. And like before my big match with Charlotte Flair in 2014 at that takeover, I trained with Shayna for a couple days privately.
Natty. You really should watch out for Bianca Belair.
Oh, did I cannot wait to work with her.
Did you see the whooping?
I did.
That she handed out?
I did. Oh. She's got it. Bianca, Rhea, Shayna. I thought that SmackDown was awesome.
It was.
Sometimes when situations happen, that it almost was like a blessing in disguise because it gave us something totally different that we didn't expect. But Bianca has such a presence. I feel like she's got such a total package. She's got something that can't be taught. It's one thing to learn a headlock or a dropkick. It's another thing to have that kind of it factor that she has. She has something very special about her that to me is she's beautiful, but she's strong. She's fierce. She can play any role that she's thrown into. And she also she's not afraid to be a little vulnerable, which I saw that in her match with Shayna.
WWE is in a really good place coming out of that too, because you think about it, maybe a lot of people didn't know the NXT superstars and haven't had a chance to see them on Wednesday night. And then you get, like you said, like you kind of fall into it. Wasn't supposed to happen. That wasn't what the show was supposed to be on Friday. And it turned out to be a home run, probably a grand slam. And now more people are going to have eyes on NXT after they saw that show.
Well, as Mark knows, in WWE, there is never a dull moment in the company. It's always something exciting. That's how, like, all of us stay young. Because you look at, like, I mean, there's never a dull moment here. We got Monday for Raw, Tuesday Total Divas, Wednesday, we got two shows on Wednesday. We got Friday SmackDown. We got pay-per-views. We got NXT UK. There's so much good wrestling on right now, not just with WWE, but like even independent wrestling is like, I watch, you know, my husband and I, like TJ used to wrestle in New Japan. We follow that too. We follow everything because we love wrestling. So it's a great time to be a wrestler. It's a great time to be kicking ass. And I hope to do so tonight at the Nassau Coliseum, where actually tonight is where Evolution took place.
That's right.
So, Natty, I'm so glad that you mentioned Total Divas because our own Gabby does a segment called Diva on Divas.
Oh, wow.
And she actually breaks down what went on Total Divas to our new, this is a new segment to our fan base. And Dave and I have watched episodes of Total Divas when we never did before. So it's like, it's real cool to see how all this works. And I'm wondering, do you have the acting bug? Is that something that you would pursue once wrestling is over? Or are you just, I'm a wrestler and I'm just going to wrestle?
That's a great question. I think for me, people say, oh, you're so good in the ring, you should be a coach, you should be a producer. But the truth of the matter is that not everybody is meant to do that. And I feel like for me, I just feel like I have kind of like the personality like my dad, where I like being in front of the camera. I like to speak. I like to be heard. I really love being in front of people and I love communicating. And like, I feel like I will always have a role like in some way that I like being on film. I like being on TV. I love being in entertainment. So I would love to get into acting. I would love to do movies. I would love to even do what Renee Young is doing. I think I'm so excited for them this week. They're debuting backstage. I think it's Tuesday night on FS1.
Yep, Tuesday night FS1.
11. I'm giving Renee a cheap plug. Renee and Booker a cheap plug, but it's 11 p.m. So I'm excited to watch Renee and Booker do their thing. But like Renee to me is somebody that's such a role model because she's never changed who she is inside. She's very genuine. She's very authentic. She's very relatable, but she's also, not afraid to be herself. We make mistakes. Even, she had talked or tweeted a couple weeks ago that she wasn't, somebody had made a comment about her not being good on commentary. And she said, look, I'm learning. I'm working at it. I'm trying the best that I can. And I thought, you know what? That was so powerful of her to say that because we're all human. Everybody is just.
Because she could have gotten defensive and sounded like a B, but she didn't.
She
came across, she took the high road, and she's right.
She owned it.
she's trying, guys. Like, it's not like she's done this her whole life. Like, you know, like Natty's been in the ring since she was an infant.
I really have.
Since she was able to crawl.
Hip toss.
They were putting hip toss.
Body slam.
We had a wrestling ring in our backyard, so I've been doing it for a long time.
I remember the ring out in the front yard.
At Stu's
house.
Yep.
And I remember y'all being real little kids. And when I say little kids, I mean like 5, 6 years old kids. So it's been a long time. And I'm just happy to say I was able to know you that long. And
did you ever do any babysitting, Mark?
Did Mark
you do
any?
Like, I did.
Yeah,
I did. Mark, I babysat the kids. I cooked for the kids. Brett's Austin broke a plate one night because I said, we're all going to wash dishes together. And we made this assembly line. And he was supposed to dry and hand the plate so that we could put it on the rack. Slammed the damn plate on the floor, cracked it everywhere because he didn't want to do it. I made him clean that shit up. I said, hey, go get a broom. And he started sweeping that glass up. Like, Brett said, hey, man, like, don't take no shit off him. I said, all right, don't put me in charge if you don't want me to really be in charge. And I threatened to spank them and everything. They was like, "You're not going to do it."
The world's strongest spank.
Mark is right though. Mark is like an honorary member of the Hart family. He's got a very special relationship with Brett. Had a very special relationship with Owen. Mm-hmm. He's like an honorary member of the family. We don't, you know, we're not always accepting of everybody. So, you've been there through the good and the bad and everything in between. So we love you, Mark.
Yeah, the only person I ain't messed with was Ross.
Ross made me get my first, my Uncle Ross actually was one of my first wrestling teachers. He wanted me to get this costume that looked like Kurt Angle's singlet. And I was like, Ross, I'm a girl. Like, and it was a hideous costume.
Like, where do you sling it? Where do you sling the singlet, Mark?
Well, my uncle Ross is like a high school principal. So granted, I was covered up, but everything was covered up. I was like, Ross, like, this is not good. Some guys don't realize fashion.
Pat McAfee shows up on everybody on commentary's got suits on. Pat McAfee shows up with shorts and a sleeveless t-shirt.
Well,
with
you got
a jacket.
I guess everybody's got to march to the beat of their own drum.
That's true. Again, Monday Night Raw tonight at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. There's still a few tickets available. Go to WWE.com. And it's amazing, Natalia. I mean, you're in Saudi and you know, all the stuff getting out of there. And then here you are, like, you know, now you're in New York. How did you do? I'd be sleeping. I'd be dead in my bed after all that.
I, you know what's funny is that you get conditioned to it. Mark knows. You just kind of get used to it. And one of the reasons why we can do it is because, like, even with you know, that long trip home, it was like 14-hour flight. Like, we're all in it together. You know, it was a 14-hour flight, but, like, there's nobody I'd rather be having fun with than my friends from WWE. Like, you know, my husband, TJ.
They become family.
They are family. And, like, we all drive each other crazy, but we all love each other. And we all, it's really a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And so that's how we do it. It's like, I'm so excited to get to Raw today and see all the girls.
Except for Carano.
Mark is very snippy.
We all want to choke Carano.
You know, I don't. Mark has one of the hardest jobs in the whole company. He's got so much to take care of.
Man, I feel sorry for that dude. To listen to 90. Oh, actually, with NXT now, there's like 130 people that call him every day. Can you imagine how his phone must be ringing off the hook?
And I will say, every time I've tried to reach Mark about anything, he always gets back to me. Which, I mean, half the time I can't even answer TJ's texts. Just like, you've been on Instagram, but you haven't texted me back.
Oh,
that's not good. That is not good.
Like, TJ, I'm trying to get the perfect selfie. Relax.
Shout out to my man Joe Vila.
Joe
smoking.
What is he making houses now?
Joe's making the rounds.
Yeah, Joe's always the man behind the scenes. We can't talk about him though.
He always helps out, and I love that. We got a little snippy. Well, really not snippy. It's just we kind of, you know, talk that at each other a little bit rather than to each other. And you know, I don't take nothing back because it makes us communicate better, but I got to give him his props. He always does good by us.
And he's a Jet fan. That. So imagine all the abuse he takes on Sundays.
Oh, my God. Don't mention that. Don't mention that.
Unbelievable.
I'm a Cowboy guy, and they whooped us.
Again, Natalia, you can see her tonight on Monday Night Raw. Again, at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Uniondale, New York. Tickets are still available. Go to WWE.com. And thank you so much for the time. It's always
thank
great
you
having
so
you.
Thank you so much. Mark, thank you so much, too. I appreciate
thank
you guys
you,
so much.
Thank you, Nat. It's so good to see you.
I can't wait to give you a bear hug when I see you.
You little wombat.
You're such a wombat.
What is going on here?
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Regarded as the greatest tag team right now in pro wrestling, Nick and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks, join us. What's up, guys?
Oh, wow. What's up? Thank you. I'm flattered.
Yeah, well, you deserve it.
You deserve a chance.
I'm excited to do this interview. I'm bumping the interview now after that.
All right, before Mark, you know, starts talking and waxing you poetic, I do have a bone to pick with you guys. So I hate to start off the interview with a bit of a bummer, but I do feel like I have to talk about it because it's been really bothering me for a year now. And do you guys remember what happened at this time a year ago?
We were on the Jericho Cruise or something a year
exactly.
ago?
Exactly. We were on the Jericho Cruise. Now, you guys killed it because you actually wrestled Santana and Ortiz on the Jericho Cruise.
That's right.
I was not able to see that match. And the reason I wasn't able to see that match was because I was doing a Busted Open live show with Sammy Callahan. So thank you guys for going long and interfering with a Busted Open show live on the Jericho Cruise.
Oh, man. Did we outdraw you?
You think?
I didn't get invited on the cruise. I didn't even get invited on the cruise.
Well, I mean, I don't think Jericho could afford you.
Oh, that's too much. Y'all get a lot of love from the fans, especially the kids and the ladies. My question is, are y'all getting that love, that sexual chocolate used to get where I used to walk to the ring and everybody used to kind of tug at you? Are y'all opposed to the people tugging at you?
Yeah, you know what's funny is during these meet and greets, it's actually become pretty regular where we will get probably some teenagers that come to us and start crying, and it's pretty crazy, and it actually touches me because they have these sweet notes, these handwritten notes that they'll hand us, and they'll tell us how we inspired them, and it's pretty crazy to see the passion from these fans that we have. It's pretty cool, but no time. None of that.
Well, often they've been giving us the like bags of like presents and stuff with candy and gift cards and stuff. It's insane. And even like yesterday we were connecting in Atlanta and I was just standing there waiting at the gate and like probably a 50-year-old lady comes up to me and just touches my shoulder and she says into my ear, "I love you." And I was like, "Excuse me?" And then her husband comes up to me and he says, "Yes. Thank you so much for giving my wife joy in her life." I was like, uh-oh. Wow, it's humbling. So we're starting to get that a lot now. We were getting it quite a bit, but I think now that we're on television, it's starting to happen a lot more often. Yeah.
Well, I was asking because I know for a fact that Dave LaGreca's daughter is in love with y'all.
And
I would have listen, if my daughter told me that she loved anybody other than me, I might go off.
Yeah, but Mark, your daughter's a lot younger than my daughter's 16, so she's at that age where you know she's a big Young Bucks fan. What do you want me to say?
Oh man,
yeah, we'll have to have some merch.
It could be worse. You could be a Jericho fan, you know.
Oh man.
That's when you're not teaching your kids right.
That's when you're not teaching your kids right. And, you know, and seriously, Nick and Matt, I mean, Mark's right. I mean, you guys are getting a lot of love. And, I mean, talk about this past year. Because he talked about last year, you know, you're on the Jericho cruise. And just the last 12 months has just been a whirlwind, especially everything with, you know, All In and then AEW. What's this last year been like for you guys?
Oh, my gosh. It's been a whirlwind of just emotions. It's crazy to think, but about a year ago, we knew what we were doing, and we were already getting the plan written out and ready. And so to see it all come full circle, it's amazing. It's been just crazy week to week living this life. Everything is so hectic, and we're learning as we're going. So, but you know what? It's so much fun. We're having a blast right now.
Wow, that's like, a trip, man. Saying that you learned
really,
a
like
lot.
Nick said, we're learning. I was gonna say we're really learning, and it's also new to us, but it's exciting and it's scary too because like you know, we're, like the week one, we were like, what are we doing? We've done big pay per view shows, you know, 5-hour marathon shows, but we've never really done live television, which is, as you know, it's really like 90 minutes of content. With commercial breaks and stuff, and segments have to be perfectly timed. So it's been really scary, like every week to week. Like every time we get through a week, we're like, oh, we survived another week, you know. And now that we've done a few of them, Nick and I feel pretty confident, and the rest of the crew, like we feel like we're getting our act together, you know, at this point. But still, it's like Nick said, every week it feels like we're doing, you know, like a live spectacle. So the excitement is all time right now.
Y'all guys do really, really well, and you seem to mesh with every tag team that I see y'all go in the ring with. Do y'all have a mentor, like somebody that looks at you and goes, you know what, guys, that was great, but, you know, y'all, next time you ought to do this, do you have, like, a little mm-hmm. checks and balances?
Oh, yeah, we've had a lot of mentors. Right off the bat, I would say the Hardys. Taught us a lot when being in the ring with those guys. It was like we were learning just everything over again because they did such like little details that we picked up from those guys for sure. Helped a lot. Motor City Machine Guns were definitely one of the first as well. Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels are another huge inspiration for us with tag team wrestling. Matt, do you have any others that in the very, very beginning of our career, Marty Jannetty helped us out a lot. And then later on, once we got to TNA, which is Impact now, Tommy Dreamer looked out for us and Terry Taylor. And, you know, they pulled us aside and they taught us a lot of stuff that we still use. And Tommy, still to this day, is someone whose brain I will always pick if he's in the back. You know, just surrounding yourself by experienced people, you know, having Dustin Rhodes in the back and just picking his brain, you know, guys who've just been doing this longer than us, like you can't teach that stuff, you know what I mean? So it's great to have people who have done the dance for longer than I have, because they have so many different ideas for spots or psychology just in the back of their head. Like they can just snap of a finger, they'll have a fresh idea for you. Like, where'd you come up with that? Like, well, I've been doing this a while, you know. So it's just fun. And really, just having a collaboration, like having even young guys to kind of learn from, because like, we're no longer the youngest guys in the locker room anymore, right? Like, it's crazy. But now that we have guys in the back, like these Private Party kids, one of them's 22. And just to see the way that his brain thinks, like, we learn from that. We go, okay, that's how younger people are thinking. So we try to utilize that. Like, we try to pick from everybody.
I want to share something with y'all. Y'all's style is so innovative. That's the thing that I like about watching y'all's matches, is the setup. How do you put somebody in position on the floor when somebody planches or twists from the ring to the floor? What made them get to that point? And who, just keeping the balance of while your brother is over here, you're over here, and you work so good and communicate so good together, it's almost like you have some kind of telepathy. Like, how did that come about?
Thanks for putting us over big time. That's awesome, man. We appreciate that. You know, it's taken years and years and years of just thinking and watching tape and doing things better and just literally getting into the ring and practicing things with Matt to come up with some of these ideas that we have. Like, for instance, like some of the tag team moves that we do to this day, we would do it in the backyard when we were just starting out, like almost 20 years ago. So there's still little things that we still did to this day that long ago. So, but we still are thinking of new things. And like Matt said earlier, now that we have these guys, these younger guys on the roster that we see that they're practicing the whole day, it influences us to try to even get better now and try to learn and think of even more new and innovative things.
You know, before we get into,
I was just going to add a quick thing about Nick and I, like that brotherhood. You know, it's something you can't teach. It's the chemistry. It's in the blood. So like we can just step into the ring together and he can give me a look and we're communicating through our faces, through our eyes. And I know what he's thinking. And as weird as it sounds, like our timing, like we go off of the rhythm of each other's body. Like sometimes before we're going to do a super kick, I could tell by his footwork where my feet need to be for us to connect that double super kick at the same time, you know, and it doesn't take speaking to each other. We're speaking to each other through our body. You know, and wrestling's universal. It's universal language.
Yeah.
And we can go through matches. I can give him a look and he knows what that look means. Or like there's even instances where he'll do something dangerous and he just has to look at me a certain way and I know he's okay. It's like he's giving me the Iggy without even squeezing my hand. You know what I mean? Like
we've just been
doing this so long now, we can communicate to each other just by giving a glance.
Well, one thing that we talk about here on Busted Open, and you mentioned Tommy Dreamer, who's one of our co-hosts. Another co-host here is Bully Ray, and he talks a lot about tag team wrestling and how the art of tag team wrestling recently has been lost. You've kind of kept it alive, and now with AEW Dynamite on Wednesday nights on TNT, you really see the emphasis on tag team wrestling, especially what we just see take place the last couple Wednesdays with the tag team tournament. Was that one of your goals with Dynamite?
Oh yeah, for sure. That was one of the first things Matt and I wanted to focus on was the tag team division. And I feel very strongly that we have the best tag division in all of wrestling, and it's only going to get better once all the tag teams get used to each other. So you haven't seen the best of what we're going to do every Wednesday, and we're going to focus on it even more. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Don't be surprised if a tag match main events a pay-per-view one day or a Wednesday night. Like it should happen, and it will happen.
I don't have a doubt about it. And you mentioned Goldust. Goldust is brilliant in wrestling, period. Not just pro singles wrestling, but tag wrestling. Arn Anderson is a wealth of knowledge and is one of the people that I've been mentored by. And please, like, don't ever let your ego get so big that you can't go to Arn or Goldust and say, ask them, hey, man, I want to get a little counsel about this or counsel about that, because you mentioned about the timing and being on the clock. And we talked about that on the show before the show launched, is how crisp and how on point you have to be to learn. It takes reps to be able to master the timing and get it down to 5, 4, 3. And I'm sure that y'all got there and not always been where you want to, but then you have to adjust what you're doing to get it down to 1 off the air. And then coming back off the air, coming back onto the air, you have to be in the same timing. Like, you know, all right, guys, get in the ring and give them time to show what happened outside during the break. Like, it's people think that what they see is just seamless, but it requires repetition. And who is doing the most with y'all as opposed to learn the clock?
Man,
when you think the team effort?
Yeah, but I would say Chris Jericho definitely has given the most pointers to us, like individually, Matt, I would say, because he's been doing it for so long, and he's given us tips on how to make things work perfectly. And he's just, man, he knows what he's talking about. He's so smart, and I feel like he's taught us the most with timing things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're not wrong. Like, when you're like, so many of these guys, they're a wealth of knowledge. And I think the way to stay on top in wrestling is you never stop learning. So to have a guy like a Dean Malenko there too, you know, it's so great to have these minds to just pick and see. And not even just that. Sometimes, like, we'll sit at the go position and I'll watch a guy like Dean. And I'll he's one of our great coaches, and I'll watch the way that he produces the segments, and I'll listen to him, and so it gives me a better understanding of, you know, where I should go with the next segment, or what works best here, and like you just mentioned with the timing, like he knows exactly where to time things, and like Nick said, Chris Jericho's the master at these things, and he told Nick the other day, like, if you've got a 13-minute match, you know, plan a kick-ass 13-minute match. Don't worry too much about the break spot tonight. Like, let's try to give them something different. Let's not just do a house show dive and then, oh, everyone knows we're going to break. Like, let's try to use a different formula. Let's try to give the live house some action. So we're just trying to do different. We're trying to plug in different things, and we don't want to fall into doing the same thing every week and fall into these patterns where then it becomes a formula, right? And then you're watching, you're going, oh, I know what's next. Like, so we're trying to be unpredictable still and trying to find our sweet spot.
All right, guys, let's get into the pay-per-view taking place this weekend, Full Gear in Baltimore. Again, you could see that on BR Live. And before we get into your match, I want to talk a little bit about the match between Chris Jericho that you mentioned before and Cody Rhodes. Maybe my favorite segment, hell, not only of the week, but maybe for months, is that segment with Cody Rhodes and Tony Schiavone in the limo from this past Wednesday. And hearing Cody talk about his mom, hearing Cody talk about what this company and what wrestling means to him, that did so much for me to get emotionally invested in that main event this weekend. You know, what do you think about that matchup between those two? And talk about, like, what Cody's been able to do, getting the crowd emotionally invested in him.
Oh, yeah. He's a man. He knows how to connect with the audience. That's probably the best thing that he knows how to do, is just be able to connect, and he connects so well. So he's a top babyface because of it. And the fans are so behind him right now, and they want him to win Jericho. And, you know, Jericho, he's probably the best heel I've ever seen, because he's no doubt about it. He's the biggest name in the company. He's the most mainstream, and somehow he knows how to get the fans to hate him. So that just shows you how good he really is. So this match is a big match. It's probably Cody's biggest match of his career. So he has to hit a home run that night. And knowing Cody, he will hit a home run. So it's going to be a hell of a match, and I'm excited to watch it.
And then let's get into your match with Santana and Ortiz, you know, the Inner Circle. You guys, talk about that matchup for Full Gear.
Man, I feel like Santana and Ortiz are going to bring out a different side of us that not many people have ever seen. A lot of times you watch a Young Bucks match, and it's a beautiful wrestling match with amazing synchronized moves and people love watching. It's a spectacle. I feel like this match could be a little bit more violent. I feel like maybe Santana Ortiz are the types of guys that could bring out more of a mean streak in us. And I think people are interested in seeing that more aggressive side of us.
I mean, we just saw on Dynamite Wednesday what they did to the Rock and Roll Express, and it was insane. I don't think anybody saw that coming. So then after post match they attacked us. So it's like we're not really used to that. We just came off of a series of matches with the Lucha Brothers, which, yeah, sure, it all culminated in a really violent ladder match. But, I mean, I feel like right out of the gate, it's going to be fist swinging. And I'm ready to show the world a different side of the Young Bucks.
All right, and you mentioned AEW Dynamite on TNT every single Wednesday. Last question for me is just talk about this show and how well it's doing. I mean, us fans and talk show hosts talk about the Wednesday night wars, and it seems like, at least for right now, it's a bit one-sided. Are you surprised by the early success of AEW Dynamite?
Man, you know, it's so hard to answer that because everything we've done to this point has never really been done in all of wrestling. So it's everything that has come from this has been so unexpected that I just never know when we'll reach the height to what we've been doing. So it's so hard to say, but it feels like we have the momentum, and it feels like the fans have been loving every minute of it. Like, if you go to these live events, these crowds are electric. If they feel like a pay-per-view event every Wednesday. It's crazy. And, here we are 5 or 6 weeks into TV, and I have to say, every audience we've been to, they've stepped it up, and they've made the show even better. So, man, it's been a blast. It's been so much fun. I just hope we could keep continuing the momentum and do it forever.
Guys, y'all mentioned Dean Malenko being somebody that's a brilliant mind and helps y'all. Has he got to tell you all these weird and stupid jokes yet?
He
never stops. He never stops.
He's hilarious. Laugh at him.
Just laugh at him. You know, it helps his ego.
He's got such a dry sense of humor. It's pretty funny that I dig it.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.